Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is week 9, day 1 of our study of 2 Corinthians. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 11. Well, welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Before we get started, I want to encourage you to remember to read 2 Corinthians 10 times in the 10 weeks we're studying. We got 2 weeks left here, and so I want to encourage you to make the most of these last 2 weeks. If you haven't been reading up until this point, I really want to encourage you to consider reading the book of 2 Corinthians once a week or even more, twice a week for the next 2 weeks, and you will get the most out of it by doing that. The more we fill our minds and our hearts with God's word, the more it impacts us, the more it changes us. All right, with that, let's go ahead and pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God. Speak to us and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. We want to encounter you through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 1. I hope that you will put up with a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. So here, Paul, so much of this book and the last several chapters have been leading up to this. We're going to see throughout this chapter and a little bit of the next that Paul has been pointing toward the fact that there have been people coming through Corinth and have been trying to turn their hearts away from Paul and his group of people, the cronies that are with Paul, the ones that come and teach with his approval. People have been coming and trying to turn their hearts away from them, not because they don't like Paul, as we're going to find out, but because they don't really want the people of Corinth accepting this message. Because when you accept the message of the gospel, the true gospel, then there's always going to be a humility in that. And there's going to be a laying down of oneself. And if you are laying down your life before the Lord and before others, it's really challenging to make money off of those people. It's really challenging to use and abuse those people. It's only when people are coming with an agenda. People are coming with something they want. And that's so often true, right? I mean, tons of people come to church with an agenda. They want something. And I think if you and I are honest, and I think we should be honest with ourselves. How often do we go to church, or how often have we moved churches or changed churches? Because we have an agenda. We want something from that church more than just interacting with the bride of Christ so that we can strengthen them and they can strengthen us. We want some kind of inspirational teaching, or we want a kids ministry. We wanted this or we wanted that. And those aren't always necessarily bad things. But when those are the primary things we're wanting, we set ourselves up to be used and abused. There's so many stories of abuse, and I don't mean like physical or sexual abuse in churches, although that happens, but I just mean like mental, emotional, spiritual abuse where people get used and just kind of put through the ringer and tossed out on the other side. So many stories of that happening in church. And one of the reasons it's so prevalent is we set ourselves up for this. We set ourselves up to be used by people who will use us when we're going with an agenda, when we're going with something we want to get out of it, other than what we're supposed to. And that's what Paul is going to describe here in this chapter. And it's what he's accusing them of. So they put up with this nonsense, right? There's other people that are coming and preaching other Jesuses, preaching other gospels, giving out different spirits, because there are these other people that they want to make a quick buck off of these people. They want to get their needs of having people praise and honor them fulfilled through these people. There's all sorts of different motivations, but there's other people that are coming through and they want something out of these people in the church in Corinth. And this is so prevalent today. This has always been true. This has always been true. And people will always do this until Jesus returns. They want something. We're going to see here Paul saying, I don't want anything from you. I want to give to you God's Spirit. I want to give to you the gospel. I want to give to you all these things. Paul has got a deep, honest, true love for these people. He sees them as you know, the offspring in the faith, that he has gone and labored the gospel there and seen these people come to faith, and he wants to see them walk that to fruition. And there's other people that want to come and abuse these people for their own ends. We're going to see Paul's going to get very pointed about this in our passage tomorrow. And so this is the rub we've been leading up to this for several chapters, where Paul now just says, hey, you know, you put up with all of this other nonsense easily enough, right? Someone comes and preaches a different Jesus to you, you listen to them. They preach a different spirit than the one that you received from us, and you accept it. They preach a different gospel, a different good news about how all of the kingdom works. You accept it. And they're doing this just to try and extract something from the Corinthians. That is one of the primary reasons we have so much trouble today, is we put up with these kinds of things easily enough. Because the promise of something greater, and the promise of something that makes us greater, wealthier, more honor, more fame, whatever you want, right? Whatever that cosmic genie has to offer you, and whatever you personally want, when you come to church like that, you open yourself up. We open ourselves up to someone coming in and promising it. Now, they can't deliver. They will never deliver. But they will promise it, and they will teach it, and they will preach it, and we will eat it up. We see that all the time, all the time. People want a guru to tell them, hey, here's what you do to be honored by God, to be blessed by God, to have money and wealth and health and all of these things. We want someone to tell us that, even if it's not true, even when deep down we know it's not true. We want someone to tell us that and someone to give that to us. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. My goodness, the church in the West does that so much today. So much. But when we're hungry for the true gospel, all of a sudden, the things that we come to church for, they start to change. We don't come to church because we want to have all of these things fed to us. We want to go and encourage people. We want to go and we want to be part of this ministry where we're reaching out and we're finding the lost. We're finding the hurting. All of a sudden, we want to pour ourselves out, not see what can be poured into us. And again, there's nothing wrong with being poured into. We all need to be poured into. But the motivations begin to change very dramatically when we lay a hold of this gospel that Paul's talking about. The gospel that we come to an understanding of what Jesus has done for us, and that nothing else makes sense but for us to pour ourselves out for him. And in that way, we come to church, we come to this congregation of the saints, of whoever we're with, asking, kind of like John F. Kennedy said, ask not what your church can do for you, but what can you do for that church, for that group of people? And I'm not just talking about the church building. I'm talking about the people. How can you reach out to them? Everything shifts. And as soon as you do that, then these people that are coming along wanting to use and abuse people, it doesn't work anymore because they don't have anything that I want. when I want to pour myself out for the sake of the gospel, when I want to encounter God in the power of His Holy Spirit, when I want the gospel to permeate everything in my life and all of those around me, and someone comes promising more money, better health, or whatever, it does, I don't care. That's not what I'm here for. And so it's, you see right through this stuff. You see right through the fake gurus. You see right through all of this nonsense. The church in the West, they knew what Paul is saying here. This is, I think, such an important chapter, such an important passage in the life of the Western church today. This right here, if we can accept what Paul is saying, all of these people that come along with false gospels, with false messages, with this bondage nonsense, we would have the self-respect to say no. You don't belong here. This is not the message for us. We want the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse 5. I do not think that I'm in the least inferior to these, quote, super apostles. I may indeed be untrained as a speaker, but I do have knowledge. I want to pause right there. He's saying this tongue in cheek. We're not going to read it today, but tomorrow's passage, he's going to be very clear about what he thinks about these people that are considering themselves quote unquote super apostles. This, he's saying the phrase super apostles tongue in cheek. He doesn't mean it. Right, they're saying Paul may call himself an apostle. We are these super apostles. We're the guys that really have the knowledge and the information to help you find this awesome walk with God and be blessed and honored by God and wealth and health and whatever else. All right, so he's mocking them in this. Because there's no such thing as this super apostle. We're going to find out, and they're promising, well, we're really the awesome apostle. We're the ones you should be listening to because God has blessed us with this and with all of the money and fame and stuff, whatever else. And Paul is later in this passage going to tell us exactly what the mark of an apostle is and all of the stuff, all of the health and wealth that comes along with being an apostle, and it's the complete opposite of what these people are promising. Verse 7, was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God to you free of charge? I robbed other churches by receiving support from them so as to serve you. And when I was with you, I needed something. I was not a burden to anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied what I needed. And keep in mind, Macedonia is a very poor church compared to Corinth. He's saying, I didn't ask you for any money. He's like, I know that you guys are rich. You've got money. I didn't come here asking for money. I didn't want you to think that I'm preaching the gospel to you guys because I'm like, oh, they can support me. They can supply for me. He's like, no, I'm getting supplied by a poor church so that I wouldn't ever have to ask you guys for money, unlike these other people that come with their hands out preaching to you what you want to hear. Continuing on, I have kept myself from being a burden to you in any way and will continue to do so. Verse 10, as surely as the truth of Christ is in me, nobody in the regions of Achaia will stop this boasting of mine. Why? Because I do not love you? God knows that I do. All right, so we're going to pause there. He's going to continue this quote-unquote boasting in tomorrow's passage. But this boasting, what he's talking about and what we're going to get into is he's going to not boast about how much money he's made, how awesome he is. This is the typical guru stuff, right? Where a guru promises peace, prosperity, stuff, wealth, possessions, all of that kind of stuff. How to find, the inner peace. Paul's going to promise none of that. Now, does that mean that the Lord doesn't like prosperity? He doesn't like inner peace? He doesn't like it? No. The Lord likes those things. He likes to give those things. What Paul is going to talk about, he's like, the gospel is worth not having peace over. Paul's going to explain that he doesn't have peace. He's got people chasing him. He's getting shipwrecked. He's all these different things. There's no peace in that. That doesn't mean that he doesn't have inner peace. No, he knows what he where he's going to spend eternity. That's the most powerful inner peace that exists. But there's not a lot of inner peace as your ship is going down into the ocean, right? And gurus can't promise you inner peace if you're sharing the gospel and your ship's going down. Gurus can promise you inner peace if you're not out doing things. They can promise you wealth if you're focusing on yourself. They can promise you all of those things. And Paul is going to show them that this life of the apostle, the life of the believer, it's being poured out. And it sounds so counterintuitive. It's like, man, I would so much rather have stuff and sit on the couch and watch TV and just be relaxed and have peace. And every one of you that we've done that, we've all done that. If you're in the West, you've had the opportunity to do that as much as you want. And it's empty. It's empty. The inner peace that we seek by focusing on ourself, right? There's so much focus nowadays. Buzzwords like, self-love and self-care, where we're focusing on ourselves and just trying to make us okay. It will never, ever work. And even if it does, it will be fleeting and temporary. Because the peace that we need comes when we pour ourselves out. When we lay our lives down for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Jesus, for others. There's a peace that transcends understanding from that. Because it connects us to our reality that we don't deserve the mercy that we've been given. It makes us thankful for the mercy we've been given. And even when the ship is going down around us, when we're pouring ourselves out, there's so much more peace, even in the midst of situations where there is no peace. When we pour out our material wealth for the sake of the gospel, we become so much more wealthy and content. The gospel really is upside down and backwards. And it's beautiful in that way. The Church of the West has bought into a gospel of peace and prosperity. And when we seek first those things, we don't actually gain them. They're just always out of reach. But when we seek first the kingdom of God, all of those things, the peace and the prosperity, they're all added to us. Now, does it mean that we're as wealthy? Maybe, maybe not. But I guarantee you, you will feel wealthier. And wealth is not a tangible thing. It really is an emotional thing, right? It's like one of my favorite quotes from The Simpsons is the old man, billionaire Mr. Burns, counting his money and talking about how wealthy he is and how many billions of dollars he is. And he says, oh, but I'd trade it all for just a little more, right? The wealth is a feeling. It's not an actual tangible thing because there's never enough. But when we pour ourselves out, oh, we have more than we can handle. If the Western Church, if we can lay hold of this, it would be so transformative. This is what Paul's getting at. I pray that you and I'm in this same culture as every one of you English speakers listening to me. I pray that you and I will lay down that desire for health and wealth and prosperity and everything else. As good as all those things are, then we will seek first the kingdom of God and let him add all of those things to us. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-week Bible study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's word. Thank you.